So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and we began taking a look at the near the end part of what we were talking about last week, of this more excellent way that is pointed out by the Apostle Paul here in chapter 12, 13, and 14. He's dealing with the matter of spiritual gifts. And unfortunately, the Corinthian Christians were getting enamored with certain gifts, and they were looking at them with regard to themselves rather than looking at them with regard to how the Holy Spirit would have us to look at them, and that is the gifts are given so that we can edify the body of Christ. We're to be able to lift up one another in the exercise of those gifts. And we say, you know, doesn't matter what gifts that you have, no matter how great the gifts or how wonderfully you may try to exercise it, if you don't have love, then doesn't much matter. Because love is charity that he's talking about. This charity, or you may have heard it called agape love. It's translated love and charity, both ways are translated in Scripture in different places. But it's talking about that same love that Christ had for us that sent him to the cross. And we're to walk in love, aren't we? Ephesians 5, verse number 1 tells us, walk in love as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we are to walk in that love. And we said that true love suffers long, or is long-suffering there, as we were left last week, and we talked about the matter of forbearing. Forbearing is another word we use, but we've heard the terminology put up with somebody, right? Well, I just put up with them. That's what forbearing is. It's putting up with one another. And sometimes we don't feel like putting up with one another, but listen, we're called to this matter of long-suffering in our lives. It's having an attitude of grace toward people. And unfortunately, that seems to be a diminishing thing, even in our churches today, people being able to be gracious. They'll treat people with a matter of grace. And, you know, love doesn't demonstrate irritation, reflect unrighteous anger. We talked about there the love demonstrated by Christ, how that, yes, he hated sin, and then that's the reason why he came to die for sin, but he loved the sinners. And even the matter of, as he was being nailed to the cross, he didn't have an attitude against the people nailing him to the cross, or us, our sin, when nailing him to the cross. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a matter of grace. That's being gracious, don't you think? We know that, yes, the Lord did have times when he expressed anger. In fact, just recently in one of the sermons on Sunday morning in our going through the Gospel of John, we saw some people would view that he acted kind of harshly toward those who defiled the temple. But it was a righteous indignation that he had, but he still died for those people. And he didn't exempt them out and say, "Well, you know, later on I'm gonna be going to the cross and I'm gonna die for others, but I want you to know I ain't dying for you." That's not what he displayed. He was gracious, went to the cross, died for us all, and we know he had his harshest speech was to the religious legalist of his day, but yet he still went to the cross and died for them. And some of them got saved. You know, I believe that the one that we just recently looked at there in John's Gospel, chapter number 3, Nicodemus, I believe the Lord had a profound impact upon Nicodemus's life. And I think that we're not told specifically that he came to be a believer, but I think through some of the actions that you see there after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, we know that at least the Lord got his attention in a great way. But we're admonished to be angry and sin not, and not let the sun go down our wrath. Second thing here we see is true love is kind. Kindness is another thing that's kind of lost its way in our society, isn't it? As you're out and about, and you view the way people interact with other people out in public, used to it wasn't so vocal. Used to it wasn't, we did not see people trying to draw attention to themselves with their anger being displayed. And that's really about what it is. People want other people to know that they're upset. They're hoping to negatively affect whatever business that they are at, whether it be Walmart or whether it be somewhere else. If they got a problem, they want the whole world to know, and they don't treat the person with kindness. And same thing with, like, if you get a call from a none of us, I don't think, like the telemarketers giving us calls. I've got a way that I just get around that a lot with the particular phone that I have. It screens the call for me, and I don't have to answer the call. But a lot of times, people will get just downright ungodly in their talk toward a person trying to make a living on the other end. Or maybe they're calling, they've got a problem with, maybe you've got a credit card issue and you're calling the customer service and you treat the person with disdain that you're talking to. You know, you just rail upon them and they didn't have anything to do with your particular problem. Yeah? The company they work for did. But you're giving this poor person a hard time that had no control over what happened in your scenario. What I'm saying is, as God's people, we ought not to be that way. Okay? As God's people, we are to be kind, even when the person on the other line is wrong. You know, when the company that you might have a problem with, they may be wrong in the issue that you are dealing with, but I try to, when I'm dealing with them, say, look, you know, I know you don't have anything to do with this, but I wish you, for my sake, to pass this on to your upper management that I have a real issue with this. You know, you treat that person with kindness, and that's what true love does. It looks for ways to be constructive with acts of grace. It acts benevolently. It shows oneself useful. I like the way that Paul put it in Ephesians 5 and verse number 31 when he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I mean, when you hear those words, you can just hear somebody exploding all over somebody else, can't you? You can. And what does he say that we're to do in putting those things away? Well, in Ephesians 4, verse number 32, he says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So it's a matter of being kind. And so true love, this charity that's spoken of there in 1 Corinthians 13, not only in verse number 4, look at verse number 4, is charity suffereth long and is kind. We see the third thing there in that same verse is charity envieth not. It doesn't envy. In other words, there's no jealousy or spite involved in any way. Envy looks out for number one, doesn't it? It does. And love looks out for what's best for this other individual. What's best for them, not what's best for me. And, you know, we can have a tendency sometimes that when someone has it better than we do, maybe we're going through some difficulties and it doesn't seem like anybody else is going through those, and we envy them going through that, but not realizing that we envy them not going through that, the same things that we go through, not realizing that the things that we're going through, God has a purpose for those things that we're going through. I mean, yes, maybe somebody appears to have it better in some areas than we do, but, you know, we can't see everything, can we? You know? You can't see what that other person's going through. And you say, boy, I'd like to trade places with them. Well, maybe you wouldn't. If you understood the rest of their life, the life that you cannot see, the life that's hidden, they may be full of inner turmoil that you don't have any idea about. But true love doesn't envy that other person has it better, either physically or spiritually than we do, or emotionally. It looks out and says, I'm glad the Lord's blessing them in that way. And we ought to be. When we see the Lord blessing someone, I sure hate that I'm not, don't have that blessing in my life. It ought to be, man, isn't God good to bless them that way? True love, charity, envieth not. Then another one here in verse number 4, it says, it vaunteth not itself. Charity vaunteth not itself. What in the world does vaunteth not itself? It's not rash. It's not a windbag, we could say. It doesn't boast. It's not egotistical and is not anxious to impress. It's not, look at me. Boy, do we live in a society right now where the focus is on self. Selfies. How many times do we see somebody doing that? They do, don't they? I mean, it's all over the place. You can't go throughout a day without seeing someone taking a selfie or doing something similar, boasting about themselves. And right along with this, there in it says, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up there, the latter part of verse number 4. In other words, there's no inner pride that desires to inflate self at the expense of others. It does not cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. We have a lot of... it's tough enough dealing with our lives without pride rearing its ugly head, isn't it? We all have a problem with pride from time to time, but when we see it rear its ugly head, we ought to try to cut the head off, amen, of the pride. And when we have a tendency to get puffed up, we need to realize that, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what Solomon said in one of his Proverbs there. We need to realize that we can be humbled real quick and not allow ourselves to get in such a way that we're lifting ourselves up or puffed up about the things that we that are going on in our life. We see number 6 here. Look at verse number 5. It says, it doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, it's not dishonorable. It acts in its proper place. It doesn't act unbecoming or unsuitable. It's not indecent in actions. We could say it doesn't have actions that are unbecoming of a Christian. When we use the word Christian, a lot of times what I will use rather than the word Christian, I use the word believers, because not all believers are really Christians in their actions. Okay? They're just not. A Christian is supposed to be one that's Christ-like. It's supposed to be a little Christ. And we know that unfortunately in this world in which we live, and as the coming of the Lord draws nearer and nearer each and every day, and I hope that we're all praying, even so come Lord Jesus, because it is increasingly getting difficult. And even with those who claim to know the Lord as their Savior, a lot of times we catch some things that are not really right from folks who claim to know the Lord. I mean, they come at us in an ungodly way. They behave in a manner that's not doesn't line up with that of someone who should know the Lord. They're acting in an unseemly manner. conduct unbecoming. You've heard conduct unbecoming of an officer in military. Well, what about wearing the Lord's army? What about conduct unbecoming of a Christian? And there's a lot of that, and unfortunately, it seems to be growing, and people the people that argue for their attitude in those things, they do so apart from Scripture, okay? Because the Word of God is still our absolute authority. And some people don't want to hear the Word of God when they're acting in an unseemly way, when they're acting in a way that's not becoming of a Christian, not becoming of a believer, and you point it out from Scripture, and then, I don't want to hear that. I remember churches I pastored up in Tennessee for a short period of time. There was a deacon in the church that I took him to the Scripture where the qualifications were of a deacon, and I said, "Brother, I'm sorry, but you don't qualify to be a deacon according to the Scripture." And he said, "Oh, Brother Jerry, you can't go with that. That was written for them way back then." Talking about the Scripture. Hey, Scripture wasn't written for just them way back then. It was written for us. And God doesn't change. He doesn't. And we need to understand that. A lot more that I could say about not behaving in an unseemly manner. But let's move on. There in verse number 5 also, "does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own." Seeketh not her own. In other words, it does not pursue selfish advantage. It doesn't look out for one's own personal welfare at the expense of others. It seeks the highest good for the object loved. And again, I point out the fact that we're living in a society where it just seems like everywhere you turn, people are all about self, and making sure, I'm gonna get mine. I'm gonna make sure that of what I have. Every man for himself is kind of the idea behind the opposite of this. And when it's kind of like, I'm going to make sure that I get mine and you're on your own. No, it seeks the highest good for the object love. What is best for that other person? And we need to understand that each and every day, most of us interact with people on a daily basis in this world. And people have needs. And we're going to see in the morning message this morning, if we're Christ-like in the way that we approach folks, their needs, we're going to be concerned about their needs. There's a lot of folks that need Jesus. Amen. They need the Lord. They need somebody to be concerned enough about them to give them a gospel tract or to talk to them about their spiritual condition. They need someone who's concerned enough about them to pray for them. And we see that a lot of times what happens is that in seeking our own advantage, we are blinded to the condition of other people. We're blinded to their needs. We're blinded to their what our part ought to be in their needs. I sincerely believe that the Lord has He places us where we're at, and the people that we interact with on a daily basis are there on purpose in our lives. Okay, they're there. And what are we doing about it? Are we oblivious to it? That this person might have a need that I might be able to help address, especially in the need of salvation in their life, I've got my things that I've got to be concerned about today. I got to get my business done, and We're going to see that later this morning, when we get in the morning message, Jesus took time to go out of his way. He went in a manner that the people of his day, I'm talking about the Jews, where he lived, they would not have done what he did. They would not have. They would not have taken the time to take and be interested in the needs of others. Let's be mindful of the needs of other folks that the Lord puts in our life. When I'm talking about needs of other folks, I'm talking about both believers and unbelievers. Because, you know, there's believers that have needs too. And there's a passage there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It talks about how that the Lord helps us in with the things that we're going through in life, such that we might be able to help others who are going through a similar situation. And that's important, you know. Let the Lord use His grace in your life. But after the Lord has used His grace in your life and helped you, let Him use you to help others. Amen? Because that's what He wants. That's what He wants from us. We see also there in verse number 5, another one, is it not, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Here's a good one. Is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. It's not touchy, you might say. You ever had somebody that you were just afraid to, just you didn't want to talk to them because you're afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing? You know, they were going to nail you to the wall with something, even though there was nothing really to do that. We all not to be that way. We all not to be hypersensitive. We all not to take everything personally. You know, sometimes people are just trying to help, and you may say, "Well, I just wish they wouldn't help that way." Well, just lighten up a little bit, okay? Don't be hypersensitive. Let them take and try to help in the way, even though that way that they're maybe trying to help, you're not appreciative of. Don't be touchy. Don't be hypersensitive. Jesus was not touchy. I mean, he was not easily provoked. I mean, there were plenty of times when he could have really acted in a different manner had he not been who he was. He's God in the flesh. Amen. And he is love personified. And because he's love personified, he was not easily provoked. He was not hypersensitive. He was not touchy. True love, also this charity, thinketh no evil. Look there at verse number 5 again. The very last phrase, thinketh no evil. In other words, what this is talking about, it doesn't keep a count of evil. Yeah, doesn't keep a scorecard. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't keep a scorecard? Amen. There are folks who, in their mind, they continually review wrongs that others have wronged against them, and based upon the scorecard, they either are going to act to them in a gracious way or an ungracious way. They're either going to have something to do with them, or they're not going to have anything to do with them, or have little to do with them. And the Lord wants us to not keep a scorecard. Don't hold a grudge, so to speak. Or think the worst about other people. Sometimes somebody tries to say something to try to be helpful, and we take it the wrong way. We think the very worst about them. We presume upon what they were thinking when they were saying that. Can you know what another person's thinking? Can you know what their motive is? You can think you know what their motive is. You can guess at what their motive is. But listen, only God knows motives of the heart. Only God knows the motives. And He's the one that's going to judge the motives. We need to be careful about judging motives of the heart, amen? Because we cannot know those things. And so be careful about keeping a scorecard and holding a grudge. When we hold a grudge, you know what hurts us more than it hurts the other person? You know, when we harbor bitterness, bitterness is a poison pill that we swallow and it hurts us, doesn't really affect the other person that we're bitter towards. So let's watch about thinking evil and holding grudges, being bitter. All bitterness is supposed to be put away from us. Amen. That's what I read in Ephesians 4:31 a while ago. Here, verse number 6. We see true love, or this charity, rejoices not in iniquity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It does not gloat over the wickedness of other people. It doesn't use others' evils to justify personal weaknesses. You know, we can get into sometimes, and we say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that person. And we're failing to realize our own wickedness. And we all have some. We all have some ways that the Lord Jesus Christ needs to work on in our lives. We need to work on in our lives continually. And sometimes those things crop up their head from time to time. And I hate when they do that. You know, because it does it even in your preacher's life. Sometimes and immediately when it hops on me, I know it. And I say, I don't need to be doing that. Don't need to have that kind of thought. It was wrong for me to have that thought. Sometimes someone has done you wrong and something happens to them, and rather than pray for them, you're like, well, you know, they did me wrong. I'm glad to see something's happened to them. That's not Christian. You know, you may have that thought as a believer, but that's not a Christian thought. That's not a right thought. We're not to gloat over what happens in others' lives. We ought not to rejoice in iniquity in other folks. True love rejoices in truth. What a blessing to be people of the truth. Listen, we are people of the truth. Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. This is the opposite of rejoicing in iniquity. It praises God when truth prevails. Love desires to go God's way. God's way is the way of truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. We ought to rejoice in the truth. We ought to be such as the Apostle John when he wrote, we saw last Sunday night in our, we were in the little book of 2 John. And he said, you know, it rejoiced his heart to see his children walking in truth. We ought to be that way. When we see others walk in truth in our church, it ought to thrill our hearts that, you know, that we are joined together in a fellowship with them in this local assembly. True love bears all things. There, verse number 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let's talk about these all things here. True love bears all things. In other words, this is talking about keeping things confidential. It does not gossip about inconsistencies in the lives of others. It endures those things patiently. You know, a lot of times somebody does us evil and we want to go about and yapping to somebody else about the evil that they've done toward us. You know, been there. You know, had the same issue dealing with the same problem, but we ought not to be that way. We ought not to gossip about the inconsistencies in the lives of others. And if somebody comes against us, we ought to be able to endure those things patiently. And there comes back to that item of forbearance we talked about a while ago. True love believes all things. There's a full development of faith It trusts other people and gives them the benefit of the doubt. It's eager to believe the best about others. You know, we ought to want to see the best in other people. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not realists. We know that we're all still all sinners. Amen. But we ought to want to believe the right thing. We ought to, you know, if somebody does something, we ought not to automatically think the worst, automatically want to believe the worst about them. We ought to want to believe, well, you know, there's probably something that we don't know. Maybe we don't know all the facts. And lots of times we don't know all the facts, do we? We don't. God knows all the situations of that in each of our hearts and lives. But we ought to want to believe and give the benefit of the doubt to other people. We ought to want to believe the best. True love hopeth all things, has a great expectation of the future, has a positive peace and confidence in God and the ways of God. I'm glad to be a believer, and I know that God has my best interests at heart, and I hope that you have that same idea in your life. You know God loves you and wants what's best for you, and even if you're going through a difficult time right now, God still wants his best for you. And Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that all things are good, but God is working whatever the things are going on in our life, whether they be positive things or whether we may view them as being negative. God is using those things. God can use those things in a positive way in our life, whether we see it or not right now. Okay? I really believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to look back. Maybe there's going to be things. I'm just share one example from a previous church. I won't call any names, but there was a couple that had lost a teenage son. He had drowned and before we'd gotten to church there. And to this day, they still have a problem. There's still an issue that you can tell in their lives. It dwells with them every day of having lost that son. And I understand the loss. But they say, we never saw anything good come out of it. Well, the thing about it is we can't see the hearts and lives of everybody, can we? We can't. And I believe when they get home to be with heaven, they're saved people. They love the Lord, but I believe one of these days when they get home to be with the Lord, the Lord's going to show them, you know, look, if you just trust me that, you know, I was working this thing out, and he's going to look back and show where that did, and, you know, all the things that brought in a positive way that they were oblivious to. The Bible doesn't say we're going to see those things, but the Bible says those things are there. And a lot of times we have to accept things by faith. We're not going to see them by sight. Just because you can't see it don't mean it's not there. Amen? You're breathing air. Can you see the air you're breathing? No. Aren't you glad it's there, though? Yeah. Breathe. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, I can't see it. Boy, am I glad it's there. Hopeth all things, a positive peace and confidence in God and the ways of God. And then true love endures all things, or endureth all things, there in verse number 7. It's stabilized so as to be relaxed under pressure, does not cease when problems come. It endures all trials with a loving spirit. Trials are going to be a part of life. Okay, they just are. Not every day is going to be hunky dory today. I know that, you know, there's some preachers on TV that would have you to think that you have Jesus in your life, everything's going to be hunky dory. Sad to say, it's not going to be that way. A young man When I was before I was a pastor, I was an associate pastor in church in Brunswick, Georgia, and a young man that worked with a good friend of mine, he was not saved, and Mark had talked to this fellow, his name's Dennis, talked to him with time and time again. I'd go into this computer store. This was back during the time when computers were just coming on the scene and people were crazy about computers. And I'd go into the computer store and talk computers with them a little bit, try to figure out some of the things I didn't know, and I'd talk to him about Christ. Well, one very, very hot day in the summer, he came by my office, and the door to the church, my office was just inside the church on the left side. I didn't have an air condition in my office. Had the front door open so air would come in, and had my office door open. And this fellow just happened to drive by my office, and he had told the Lord, if that door is open to that church, when I drive by it, I'm going to go in there and talk to him. And he came in there. And I was able to share Christ with him. And he was going through a lot of things in his life at that particular time. They had some marital issues that was going on. They had some financial issues that they were having to deal with. And I said, look, Dennis, I said, I can't tell you if you trust Christ that everything's going to be hunky-dory in life, because that's not the way it works. But what does work is that you'll have someone that loves you that'll be going through it with you, and that's the Lord. And he trusted the Lord and as a Savior, and he gave testimony to that very same thing. You know, that was really the sealing point, the sealing thing for him, that he would at least have a help as he went through the things of life. And we know that the true love endures all things. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we can endure all trials with a loving spirit because of what Jesus has done in our life. And then true love never fails. The word for never fails is extra strong here. It speaks of an actor who is never hissed off the stage. He always does a good job, you know, not throwing tomatoes at him. Never fails. You're extra strong. Listen, the giving of gifts and all that's involved with it goes to show the Lord's concern for us. Amen. The Lord loves us, and he's got a concern for us. And thankfully, he's provided salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And that salvation, thankfully, is available to anyone who is willing to receive him as their Savior. And when salvation takes the place, when it takes place in our hearts, it becomes an integral part of us, and we know that God has a plan in our life. You know, that individual becomes an integral part of God's plan for the ages. God didn't just save us, take us home to heaven. If that's the only reason that God saved us for, we'd be in heaven right now. You know, God saved us for other things, to carry out his plan. And he's given or gifted us to be used further for his cause. And it behooves each of us to examine ourselves and determine what are we doing with God's provision of salvation? What are we doing with what he's given us as far as our spiritual gifts? Are we using them for his purpose? Are we cognizant of this better way, this more excellent way that Paul talks about? We need to, I think, review this on a regular basis, and that's one of the reasons why I give you a handout for you, for your benefit, to take a look at these things from time to time in your own life. All right, that's all we have time for in the Sunday school hour. Let's bow and ask the Lord to dismiss us. Father, we thank you.